Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose or diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 56. I'm proud and honored to have our second annual sports review show with returning the Seattle Sports Union with Abe and Soul Man. How you doing?
Hey,
doing
I'm
awesome,
great.
Coach Mike.
You know, I knew you were
all
the
right.
Coach with the most, but that music, that's pretty. That's got the most in of all. I love that. It's got a little bit of David Gilmour on guitar, a little drum and bass, and a little Miami Vice in there, too.
Yeah, that's the never-were, man. These guys ain't no joke, man. They got Wild Lyle's song, Sanctify, also. That's on YouTube. You can check that out from their live concert they had in his yard up there in Ravensdale, Washington. Oh, my goodness, man. You guys check them out. They got like 100-and-something songs. But, anyway,
very cool.
Joe Love and the Never Were. Yes, my goodness. All right, but I want to point something out. You guys were here August 13th of 2022, and my goodness, from the get-go, you got the Soul Man talking prophecy. It was Brian Wu's third start for the Aqua Sox going against the Dust Devils. He'd only been in high A for shortly because he just got up from Modesto. And Soul Man sitting there talking about this guy's part of the future. And my goodness, look what happened. Here's Brian Wu kicking ass already.
See, I knew I had something special, but it's taken a few years for my boys at the Seattle Sports Union to believe in me. Brian Wu, he is legit, man. I mean, the guy, not even a year and a half in the major leagues, and they have the faith to call this guy up, and he right from the get-go, he's been throwing strikes left and right, getting the wins. I mean, he had a couple bad outings. What do you expect when you go against Texas Rangers on the road with the best team in the American League, at least? But yeah, Brian Wu is legit, and he can stay injury free. Man, he's got a future here.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes. And I love all your guys.
Offer an official. Oh, sorry, I was going to say I'm going to have to offer an official apology to Brian. I thought Brian Solak that you were just sticking together with your other Brians out there in the world, but you got that one correct.
Okay, there you go. We got that one settled nice. Immediately. Nice. Okay. Cool. And then, yes, today's a big day for the Mariners again, man. We got Houston's number. We're now 67-55, won four games in a row. Houston's ahead of us, though, at 70-53. But we shut them out last night 2-0 with Julio's 21st home run, and man, he's just on fire, right, guys?
Yeah, see, is, man.
What did he go?
Oh, he had like nine straight hits going over the last two games, and 13 over the last three or something. I mean, he started out slow this year, and I heard some people crying on sports radio. Oh, time to demote him. I mean, come on, the kid's a legitimate superstar. They all go through slumps, and obviously he's coming out of it right now and showing us who the true Julio Rodriguez is.
Exactly. You know, yeah. And then not to mention the hometown guy, Bryce Miller, the guy that Seattle Sports Union have an interview with him, right?
We did, and I'll get off my soapbox, but I got to toot my own horn on this one, too. We did get to interview him last year near the beginning of the season in Everett, and what a great young man. I ended my article stating, in my opinion, Bryce Miller is the future face of this Major League Baseball franchise. And, boy, my God, he's sure showing it right now. The kid has been lights out since he's been come up as well. And, by the way, you can find those articles at SeattleSportsUnion.com.
Yeah,
right
Bryce
on.
Miller,
okay,
Bryce Miller's
cool.
Been amazing. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, Bryce Miller's been amazing. He had a couple I think he had a little rough stretch there right after the All-Star break. I think he got knocked around by the Red Sox. But when you take a look at the sum total of what he's done, take out his high and take out his low, and he's somewhere just like with a 2.50 ERA. And I give DePoto a lot of grief, but he can find these pitchers. That's for darn sure.
Yes, and then I got some stats on Bryce here. His last three starts, only two runs given up in 17 innings. That's phenomenal. And then on the year, he's got eight quality starts out of 18 total. And then being from Texas, it's really special for him to shut them down last night. And one of his heroes, Bregman, you know. And another prediction that you had, Soul Man, that you said that you thought Bryce Miller would be up by 2024, and he beat your prediction. My goodness.
I did not realize that. He sure did, man. What one little fact about this, if those that don't know, Bryce Miller didn't start pitching till his senior year in high school because they had too many arms, he said, in their program. And then after his junior year, they needed, you know, more pitching, and he had a strong arm, and he was an outfielder. And then he became a pitcher, and then he wasn't a starting pitcher till his senior year at Texas A&M, so... Boy, this kid is special.
I believe with your interview with him, wasn't he originally drafted? Like, if under today's rules, he would have never been drafted because it was the late 30th round, somewhere in there. And so he ended up going to college to really fast forward his progression before he came to the Mariners in the fourth round, I believe it was.
Correct.
Wow.
Good call.
Okay, nice.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's the kid that had to work for it. It's not like it was all given to him easy.
No,
exactly. And then, I got more notes from the Mariners and Houston's deal here. The Mariners are five games back out of first place with a third wild card team now, and the Mariners are 34-28. At home and 33-27 on the road, which we've been kicking ass lately on the road. And then let's see, four in a row, and we're 7-3 in our last 10, and we're at a 48.8% of making the playoffs right now.
Wow, yeah,
that's
up from
33%. Sorry, I was going to say that's up from 33% as of last week, so that's really great.
Okay.
That's
crazy. Okay, then,
that's awesome.
And then still on the subject of this series, Julio's average is up now to 274. He's batting .500 on the road, something crazy like that. And at one point he's 9-10, being 5-5 and 4-5 the next day. And let's see, today we got Gilbert on the mound, who's 10-5 with a 380. He's going against Valdez today, Farmer Valdez, yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough matchup, but it should be a good ball game. Probably be low scoring, something like, I would say, 4-3, but hopefully the Mariners will come out on top. But Valdez is a tough pitcher.
He is.
Weird,
what do you
that
think?
Logan Gilbert is high. Oh, I was just going to say, Logan Gilbert is completely underrated, and I'm not certain why he isn't considered the epitome of what Mariners drafts look like. This guy's done everything right, and it just seems like everybody I talk to forgets he's on the mound. What is it about him that doesn't have that little special spark? I mean, Kirby. Everybody's fawning all over Kirby. Woo! Everybody's fawning all over Woo. Why not more Logan Gilbert talk? What's going on here?
Yeah, and then I got Valdez's numbers. He's 9-8 on the year with the 331, but he's had some success against the Mariners. But back to Gilbert, I don't know if you guys seen the post-game show last night with Bill Krueger. I love his analysis he's talking about Gilbert, saying that he's got all these other pitches now that he's really successful with, but he thinks that Gilbert needs to get back to more fastballs, and he said to get some easy outs. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is quite interesting. I could see that because Gilbert had that amazing complete game shutout, was it against the Giants a few weeks ago, and he mixed it up well then, threw a lot more fastballs, and I actually do agree with Bill Krueger's analysis there.
Exactly, okay. And then anything else you guys want to add about the Mariners?
I want to piggyback on what Abe just said about Gilbert. Real quick, Abe, then you go. You're right about Gilbert. He's quietly having a wonderful season. He is an awesome pitcher. I just think it's just all these kids that have come up over the last, 6 months to where everybody's forgotten about Logan Gilbert, and he still continues to shine behind the scenes. And I mean, he at the trade deadline, one of his people were requesting him out of all these players, and thank God that they didn't trade him or any of our starters.
I just wanted to add in, Coach, that the Mariners' road record, it's a time that we just start accepting the fact that this team was not built offensively for T-Mobile Field. I mean, because, some of those stadiums are more bandboxes, and they do well with their, with their bat speed and their launch angles. But I think they need to change their game a little bit when they come home.
Definitely. Nice to see Mike Ford got a home run last night, and along with Julio's 21st, yeah. Okay, let's see here. Oh, and then another thing besides I love about last year's interviews was just the insight from Abe on the Dragons, the Sounders, the Seattle Storm, amongst other stuff. But there was one other part of last year's interview that stuck out to me was myself, and Soul Man definitely said that it was time to give Julio a raise, and it seemed like shortly after they must have listened to us, right? Right, brother?
Oh, you got that right, brother. Good call.
Those guys are listening to you, too. They listen to you.
All right, and then, hey, who do you guys got coming up on your show? I know I'm coming up on your next one,
list here.
But I mean, after me.
I'm working on some guests, but right now there's plans to have the Graz on here again within the next few weeks to talk about his his Parkinson's and the fundraiser that he's going to be doing, and we want to get him on, and we're just talk about the Mariners playoff stretch and the Seahawks season coming up. And that's really the big name guest currently at the moment. Everybody's been pretty busy from who I've talked to so the last few weeks. But we've had
we're trying to get a little more wrestling. We got you on. this afternoon. That'll be great. And then recently we've had some really interesting guests, such as former Oregon Duck and Eastern Washington quarterback Vernon Adams. And not too long ago, Brian, you had Ryan Leaf, didn't you?
Ryan Leaf, yes. That was an amazing interview podcast that we had. You can find that on salesportsunion.com as well. And then for all those who know, I'm sure you know who Coach Mike Cooley is. We had Steve Kelly, a former beat writer, last, I think it was in July, on as well. He talked about his years covering, you know, Seattle sports. And what a fun guy to talk to. He worked for the Times, Seattle Times.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, speaking of wrestling, I sure would like to hear you guys interview my co-host for Turnbuckle Turmoil, the sign guy I was telling you about, Jason Amos. He's got a vast knowledge of wrestling, and he's been around. He knows a lot of legends, Tracy Smothers and all the people from the Midwest over there. He's got quite the story. Wow. And then, of course, I want to get you guys on Turnbuckle Turmoil, too.
That would be awesome.
That'd be great, yeah.
I'm friends with Jason on Facebook. I will reach out to him, though. That would be fun.
Okay, awesome. Okay, and then, it's definitely, I'm not sure, we didn't make it clear to the fans that, yes, I'm honored and blessed to be on your guys' show today. And then, you know, so maybe the same thing. It's the second annual sports review with the coach. And then, you know, we can see ourselves again next year, you know, and who knows, we might have to do a Christmas special.
I'm down with that.
I like that idea. That's a great idea. Yep. I would love for Santa to bring you on our show. It would be a great present.
Right on, okay. And then let's see. Yes, today's show is at a special time of 4 p.m. today, Pacific, right?
It is, but we will. It'll be on delay, so we'll probably post it on Sunday or Monday.
And then give the people your guys' information.
Yeah, check us out at our newly redesigned website, SeattleSportsUnion.com, as well. Check us out on our podcasts are on Spotify. They're on iTunes as well. We're on YouTube. Just look up Seattle Sports Union to see all our great guests. As we mentioned, we had some famous guests that we listed, and then additionally we have Jen Mueller, which is one of my favorite ones, and Mike Utley, which is probably my most favorite interview from back in February.
Nice. Okay, and then I do see in my notes, Abe, you did say Emerson Hancock is the future. Look at him go. My God, they skipped. Man, you know, they continue to do their pattern of skipping the AAA Tacoma Rainiers and going straight to the major leagues and having success. My goodness.
Definitely with the pitchers, it's been working out well. We can have a different conversation about the hitters. But yes, Emerson Hancock, man, what an opportunity during, at the tail end of the lockdown, I got a chance to interview him. And just an opportunity to hear his story. Check that out on YouTube at SeattleSportsUnion.com. Now he came in with a little higher pedigree out of Georgia, but he was another guy who waited a little bit longer he was drafted by the Diamondbacks, so similar to Kirby we were talking about? He was drafted
Hancock.
Early, skipped the Diamondbacks, and we're talking about Hancock now, yeah. But, I mean, we were talking about someone else who waited a couple of years after their initial draft. He said no to the Diamondbacks, went to the University of Georgia, got his game really good, and that's how he was able to skip some levels on his way up. He's an amazing kid. Again, check out that interview, guys. That was one of my favorites, too. That's right up there with the Mike Utley interview.
Okay, and then On the same subject of prospects and stuff, there was some mixed reviews on Cade Marlowe. And I want to tell you guys something. I posted on the Seattle Mariners page about – it was in the last month. I let the people know. I said, with the numbers of the guys in this lineup, Marlowe should be batting third and Murphy should be batting cleanup. Oh, my goodness. They ripped me a new one. And then, of course, what happens that day, Murphy hits a home run, and like a day later, Marlowe hits a grand slam. And, you know, Marlowe's sort of tailing off a little, but I sort of like him. What do you guys think?
Cade Marlowe's good person on and off the field. We are so happy that he made it to the big leagues. People wrote him off because he's 26 years old. I mean, they call him the 4A outfielder, not good enough for Major League Baseball except for coming up for a cup of coffee. But the guy loves the game. He has a passion for it. I like your pick there, batting him third. Then, especially with this lineup, man, the Mariners should mix it up all the time. And whoever's hitting hot, like Marlowe or Murphy, you got to do that.
Yeah, and then that was at that such a time.
Who's giving you garbage online? Because Cade Marlowe, it was his time to kill us. The guy's a professional hitter. Okay, he doesn't have the pedigree. He doesn't come from a major college. He went to West Georgia University. And, so what? Who cares where these guys come from? The guy earned it in AAA, at AA, and even at Everett. And this idea that, oh, he has a low ceiling. Well, guess what? Nobody was hitting back in April and May, So give this guy a chance. Give him a chance. He produces.
Yeah, and then another thing about him is it's just I don't know. It's just I believe in him, and I'm happy to see him up there. Yes. And then another late bloomer, Brian O'Keefe, finally got back up to the Mariners this year for a second outing in the majors. I was glad to see he got a start the other day.
Yeah. Brian O'Keefe, I haven't watched too much, but he's been around for a few years, but the kid's got some talent to be an everyday starter, but I was glad to see him get called up as well. I hated to lose Murphy to injury, but at least I'm confident we have a solid backup for Cal Raleigh.
Oh, yes, definitely. And then, I'm really happy to see Murphy, how he's blossomed, and everything's gone great with him, where his attitude, I think that really helped his performance, where it seemed like when he was doing bad for a while, he would have a really bad attitude and it gave you sort of a bad vibe. But now it's the opposite, where he's got a really good attitude and he's doing really good, and I like that.
He's a leader, I think, and I think he's a big spark in that clubhouse. I mean, last year it was Carlos Santana, and this year he's back to the old Murphy that we all grew to love, and I'm very happy for him as well.
I've been a big fan of Tom Murphy as well, and it's always kind of bothered me that this particular team, this particular regime, doesn't like the over 30 crowd. But sometimes you need a couple of gray hairs to bring some real leadership to the team, and Murphy's done it, and I love that about him.
Yep.
Yes, and he's definitely, to me, he's earned the starting spot, even though Cal's our home run leader at 22 and Julio has 21. Regardless, it's like Murphy has earned a starting spot. And that's another thing about that attitude thing, That would be hard for a lot of people. Like, I just seen in the Seattle Times, they had an article about how good Murphy was doing, saying that his offense is better than any catcher in the major leagues. And it's so much better than the number two guy. He's 100 points better than the second number two guy, Contreras.
Oh, I did not know that. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, what's that Murphy at? Is 280, 290, somewhere in there?
Yeah, something like that, after hitting 300 most of the year. Okay. And then, other highlights of Seattle sports this year, the Seattle Kraken, my goodness. And then the Sea Dragons also, my goodness. But what do you guys think? I think the Kraken deserves some press first. What do you think?
I'm still learning. Go ahead, Dave. I'm still learning the game of hockey, but I loved watching the Kraken. They did such a great job structuring that, their team. I mean, to make it this far after year two, I mean, I know, was it Las Vegas won their cup? They had that kooky draft where they all you know, got all the good players from all the other teams, and that's why they changed it up. And the Kraken didn't get as many in the expansion draft as Vegas, but they've done a great job. Ron Francis, the GM, has done a great job building that club, and they're just going to be a solid club moving forward. It's going to be fun to watch.
And I'm going to have to eat some crow on this one, because I did bring up in one of our podcasts last year, what exactly is Ron Francis, the general manager for the Kraken? I mean, he was at Carolina and never made the playoffs. So I asked on air, why do we think this is going to change? And it didn't in the first season. And in fact, the first season is a typical expansion season. And all the guy did is stick to his guns, stick to his ideas, and allow the young players that he had to grow. And it's sometimes you just have to see things through. So it's not everybody's going to come in and make an impact overnight. And this guy stuck to his guns, stuck to his vision, and we gotta applaud him. And one of the things that he really the most important thing I think that he did was he made Mark Giordano, the captain. And that guy's the leader. We're talking about leadership. You got to have that on the team. And sometimes it's not your star player. Sometimes it is a Tom Murphy. Sometimes it is a Mark Giordano. Props to the slow but steady winning the race here.
Exactly. And then, I really liked what they even did last year. It's like they hired a lot of champs. Their coach, some of the players were ex-champions. And then on the off-season, they got more ex-champions. And they had a championship mentality. And then they had the rising star with Matty Beniers. They were so exciting this year with the biggest turnaround in history with 100 points. Winning 46 games with a 46-28-8 record, beating Colorado in the playoffs. My goodness, it was like a dream come true.
Well said, Coach Mike.
University of Michigan, I believe.
They
let him. They didn't rush him. They let him stay down for a year before bringing him up. And that evening is what it took.
Yeah, and then his story is amazing. And then basically they have another high draft pick that they're doing the same thing with, and he's looking pretty good too.
Yeah, they brought – forgive me if I don't remember his name. He was a first-round pick last summer, I believe. But they had him up and down all season long, but he got his feet wet or frozen on the ice, wet, whatever they want to call it, and – He contributed a lot to this team, and I believe they're saying he'll be on the team this coming year.
Yeah, and then I'm really excited about next year because I really enjoy what they're doing, and I got to see my first concert in the Climate Pledge last Friday night with the Hall of Famer Rod Stewart. Man, it was great.
Oh, that's awesome. How did it sound? I have not been to a concert there. How did it sound, Coach Mike?
Oh, it's crystal clear, And then, of course, I always think they could have it a little bit louder, but it was just loud enough. You could hear it perfectly, all the words. But it was nice.
I saw Trans Siberian Orchestra in November last year, I believe. The year before that. Anyway, it sounds great, Brian. It was built for music and for sports. Key Arena was terrible. The Kingdome was terrible. Let's stop pretending like it was great. I know we were all young back in the day, and anything was interesting. Those were terrible music venues. Climate Pledge is all-star. It's all-star level.
Oh, and then staying on the Kraken. It was sort of sad to see how it played out. My goodness, Colorado takes us to the limit. Our willpower and our staying power and just our die-heartedness got us through that, even in Colorado. But now we go against the well-rested, they outclassed us to Vegas. We were tired. That was not – it sort of wasn't very fun watching it play out like that.
No, but normally a Seattle team that goes that far and we lose like that, I always get angry, but there's nothing to get angry at for this. Like you said, they were just tired.
Yeah.
And just...
Definitely proud of them.
Yeah, one thing that...
Yep.
One thing that really came out of this, you know, I don't even take away the loss to the – I want to call them the North Stars, but they're called the Dallas Stars, sorry. One thing to take out of it is that the seven-game series against the Avalanche really brought Seattle together as a community, and that's what I really enjoyed out of it. Because, yeah, I'm not the world's biggest hockey fan as far as the NHL, because Brian and I, we go to – Silvertips games, because that's a team, you know, we've been, you know, going to for a while. Matt Page on our Seattle sports team specifically is the biggest Silvertips fan that we know. But, you know, it having something, gosh, I wish the Mariners could do this, guys. I wish we could get to, like, a Game 7 in a ALCS or a World Series, because
yeah.
It would bring the whole city together like it did with the Kraken. Just a quick recap on Mark Giordano. I forgot he actually had left the team before we got the success, but I still think that his leadership in year one is what you know was what you were talking about, Coach. It's that older guy, and he, you know, can add some chemistry to the team, and I really feel like he laid the groundwork.
Yeah, and my mistake, it was the Dallas Stars we lost to, but we were definitely too tired against them, yes. All right.
Yeah,
and
that's okay. I was going to say Dallas North Stars, so.
Okay, yeah. Okay, now, and then on to the Seattle Sea Dragons. My goodness, what a wonderful deal they are. They are so fun, and they are so amazing. It was such a beautiful transition from season one to this season two, except for, you know, I wish they would have kept the Dragons. But I love Ben DiNucci and Josh Gordon and the coaching. Man, I love this season.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
I got to cover – go ahead, Abe.
No, I was – go ahead. Good. Sorry.
We got to cover – well, we got coverage for the whole season, but I believe I made two or three games. We got to sit in the press box and just to watch them up in the press box. They're so fun to watch. I think it was after the first couple of games that they blew, just because they're gelling together as a team. They came together and they were having fun on their fun together. Ben DiNucci, there's a reason why he's not a starter in the NFL, but the guy threw a mean ball in that offense, and had all Josh Gordon, wide receiver, and they were fun to watch. And
yeah, when you look at Josh Gordon, you could definitely tell that, you know, he's a cut above. But obviously, he even on the Sea Dragons, like you could see he was the best player, you know, on the field. And you know, it was great to see players like that. We got to see a little bit of Philip Lindsay, former running back to the Broncos.
Yeah.
But more impressively than those guys is just the quantity of XFL players that got tryouts. There was over 100 players that got tryouts in the NFL. And hopefully some stick. I think DiNucci might stick, if I heard.
Yeah, you
right,
know.
He signed the Denver.
Yeah, he is. I think he's already almost – second string, something like that. He's definitely going to make it, it looks like.
So well, they gave him $1 million salary, one-year $1 million salary, so we'll see. Well, I think he might stick, to be honest.
Yeah, and then, man, the Sea Dragons made such a splash, just like they did in the first year they played, where the crowd support they have and the style of play, the winning attitude, the underdog mentality, just the exciting style of play they play. They're just, man, they really stand out. Don't you guys think?
I definitely think so. The fans were great. It was great to see that the Sea Dragons stumbled out of the gates, by the way. We're able to take that monumentous win against St. Louis Battlehawks. in their own stadium to propel them into the playoffs, man, it doesn't get any better than that, in my opinion. When you can
go
into a crazy atmosphere like that and land yourself in postseason.
Yeah.
Agreed on the fans.
Excuse me.
Sorry, real quick. On the fans that you're talking about, when I was at those games, sitting in the press box, there's, 15,000 fans there, and they sounded like 40 to 50,000 fans from start to finish. I mean, their enthusiasm was so infectious. It was great to watch. I'm not allowed to cheer in the press box, but I wanted to stand up on every play and scream with them. But
were up in the warm press box. I was on the field freezing to death with the camera, and it was amazing that those 15,000 people stuck it through. They are loyal, and it's fantastic.
Yep.
Not the best weather in Seattle in February, but they were there in numbers.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, with those first two rough games, the fan support was still there for both games. And then after that second loss, you seen that the fans were a little stunned, but you knew they were going to come back the next time. And, of course, they didn't. It never failed. They were back the next time, and they never failed from that point on.
Yeah, and ESPN did not do me favors those first two games. They put us on Wednesday, and I thought that was a huge mistake to try to engender, a following. But big props to the people that showed up.
And then, man, let's look at the XFL versus the USFL. The XFL smokes the USFL every time, both years, too.
All you have to do is look at the level of talent that made it to the NFL training camps. Almost three times as many XFL players went as USFL. So I agree with you.
Okay,
stronger product, XFL.
And the crowd ratio is about the same, 4-1.
Yeah, but USFL did in my opinion, a bad thing. They do not play their home games in the stadiums that they pretend to be, from. That's ridiculous.
Okay, and then real quick. Excuse me.
Can I go one more thing? One more thing about the Dragons.
Yeah.
One of their players, defensive end Chris Smith, died the last week of the season before the clinch.
Goodness.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was so sad. But the team bonded together. I mean, and they clinched the playoffs. And the reason why I want to bring that up too is we interviewed on our YouTube channel with Jordan Vesey, the wide receiver number 85. It was right before they went back to play DC, and he just talked about how Chris Smith was best friends with everybody on the team, including him, and what an inspiration he was, and how it brought everybody together more as a team. And they had it on the road before that last game, and unfortunately they lost. They had a funeral. They were all in one room together watching it because they couldn't be back in Seattle or wherever they had the funeral at, and it really affected this team. But they rallied behind this guy, and I just had to bring that up. He sounded like a real good guy that left Earth, left this world way too young.
Definitely. Bless his soul. And then, sticking with the XFL, it's like, man, the coaches on there are great. The coaches are like, man, there's some great people and some really great coaches in there where the coaches are like more of a draw than the players. And some of the coaches are better than the players, But I like that about it. So those are good stories. And then, of course, if you knew the story of the DC Defenders, their story was quite unique too, with their coaching staff and how they were from the get go, just the winning mentality, and they showed it on the field, and their style of play and their uniqueness of their fans. But we stuck with them most of the games we played. It seemed like a bad call for each game cost us to lose. What do you guys think?
First of all, I don't like the Guardians, or whatever they're called. They're my arch enemy, and I laughed and laughed and laughed when they lost in the finals.
Oh, yes, exactly.
That's just me being spiteful because we lost to them. That's all.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, see, and that
they
was
were a good team, though, like
the,
you said.
The Renegades won, right? Dallas?
Dallas won, yeah. One of the
yeah, and that was
upsets. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a great story in itself. Exactly.
Yeah, they picked
all
up a
right.
quarterback in the, like in midseason, helped them win their last few games in the championship. That was a very cool story.
Exactly. Okay, and then what about going to the Seahawks? All three of us were wrong in our predictions last year.
I feel like this is the time where we do an apology tour, right?
Okay.
Now, boy, was I wrong about Geno.
Let me review for the fans. Soul Man said 6-11. I said 7-9. But if they mix up the quarterbacks, it'll be 5-11. They didn't do that. And then I also said that if DK and the other guy keep getting fouls, that we're going to continue to lose. And DK was doing that at the start. It was nice that he recovered towards the end. Now, Abe, we could not get a prediction out of you. You said they weren't going to win because you thought that they were doing the Sonics move of trying to, like, get rid of everybody and make us a bad team or something, right? Something like that?
I thought so. I really, really thought so. I saw the writing on the wall being, you know, trying to get a high draft pick and just running this thing into the ground for the future. And I was happy to be wrong. I am so happy to be wrong because what it looks like to me is Geno did what we all love about sports. He got his life together. He got his career together. When everybody, you know, when he was at his lowest point, he didn't just turn tail and run. He did something to rehabilitate his career. And, you know, that shows in his personal life off the field, because I know he had some run-ins and his personal relationships, you know, in the locker room, he's been able to mend as well. Because he was considered to be not a good person to play with. In fact, he got punched out when he was on the Jets because his own teammates didn't like him. But now he's like the consummate captain of the team and one that, you know, everybody wants to follow and can follow. Sometimes go through some hardship turns you into a better person. That is, if you're willing to work on yourself, you can make yourself a better person.
You're right. What about you, Soul Man?
I had no faith at all in those Seahawks last year, and it was hard to watch and hard to cheer for them, even though when they were winning, it didn't seem realistic. And obviously by season end, look what happened. And I moving forward, I think Pete Carroll is not finished like everybody thought he was, including I believe, and they've constructed another great team for this year, I believe, on paper. And they're going to be fun to watch. I know they got a lot of new people on defense, but I'm looking forward to watching, in particular, this kid Witherspoon they got with the first-round pick playing cornerback. I mean, they're saying Legion of Boom 2.0 this year. I can't wait for it to start, for sure.
Yes, and my goodness, this is another great story for Pete also, you know, where they always keep counting Pete out. He should retire. He's too old. He continues to show that he's bred a winner. You know, another winning season, another playoff. And then here's another thing. He was shut out last preseason for the first time in his career. Do you see what he did this last preseason game? You could tell, and he told everybody, no, this is not just a preseason game. We have to win this game. He went out there and won that game. He had to get that losing streak off his record. He wasn't going to have that happen again. And he's like, now he can go out and do practice plays. He doesn't care if he loses the next two. But he had to win that game.
That's awesome. That's
yeah,
a great
I thought
story.
The game, I thought the game, I really did think the game passed him by. And I thought, your time is done. But there's still tricks in that old dog, that's for sure.
Yeah, nice to see Bobby Wagner's back. You know, we need him too, big time. And here's another thing. One of the analysts said that because of Geno's performance last year and coming back, was they're expecting him to do about the same, maybe a little less, but that's still winning style, you know. And then because of that and our draft picks and the talent we have, we're like a year ahead of schedule.
That gives me a chill. Obviously the Niners are going to probably win the West, but we're going to make some waves, I feel, this year for sure. I'm thinking 10 wins is for sure.
Where do you get off? Where do you get off saying the Niners will win the West? They don't have a quarterback.
Well,
Brock Purdy's not coming in until halfway through the season, and I'm sorry, Trey Lance don't look good. Like I don't see anything in this guy.
That's true. He looks like a 500 quarterback.
True.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Can't wait till next year when we see what happens.
Excuse me, what'd you say, Abe?
Oh, I mean, you can have the best defense in the world, but you still have to score points. You know?
Definitely.
They're not going to win every game 2-0.
And then just like you said, Soul Man, I agree with you. I really like what San Francisco's general management and how they constructed their team. Man, they're no joke.
No, they're not no joke. I understand what Zabe's saying about the quarterback, but I still think they got the talent on that team to still get 12, 13 wins and compete for the NFC Championship.
Exactly. And then now what about going on, or I guess we can talk a little bit more about the Seahawks. What do you guys think for this year?
10-7.
I've got much
prediction.
Higher hopes for this year.
10-7 for Soul Man?
Yeah, I'm going 11-6 on this one.
11-6, okay.
I'm going 11-6, including a sweep of the Cardinals, sweep of the Rams, and one win against the Niners.
Wow.
And
they win
okay.
And they win the division.
Okay.
Wow.
I think I'm going to go with 12-5. Now, check it out. I got to give the DK flaws again. DK keeps his antics up. What that means is, think about it, guys. He can't lose even one game for us. It seems like he's been losing anywhere from 1 to 3 games a year just from his antics alone, almost. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm too hard on him.
No, you're right.
No,
I mean,
you're right.
And then one thing
you know, opponents make fun of him.
They had him like a puppet. But, hey, I do want to give him some credit. I do got to admit, it seemed like about 4 games to go in the year, he finally grew up a little bit, and he stopped doing it altogether almost. So I'm hoping he can carry that over to this year and the rest of his career. Of course, people slip up, and people cause you to do that, but you got to be bigger than that. And plus, he should know he's been a target from day one for that.
Very true. I'm going to alter my prediction. We'll say 10-7, but I'm going to go out on the limb and say if Jamal Adams comes back healthy and shows the Jamal Adams that came out of college and kicked some, you know what, with the Jets and kind of kicked some, you know what, when he came over here, I think that defense can win a couple games to where we could possibly get 12 wins. So, well, that's my other prediction.
Right on. Okay. And then, of course, I predict at least one win in the playoffs. I'm hoping we can go all the way to the Super Bowl, but I guess I got to see a little bit more before I say they're going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, of course, I've always been like that as being a hometown fan. Man, I want the Mariners to win the World Series, of course. You got to be realistic.
Yep.
I'll just take even getting to the World Series at this point.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say.
Once in my life.
Yes. It was nice. The All-Star game was amazing, right, guys?
Yep.
Yes, it was.
I got to go, and it was a lot of fun. But I've seen I went to the one in 2001 as well. So I've seen those.
Okay.
So I want to see a World Series now. Like, let's put the cherry on top.
Okay, yes. And then can we get some highlights from you from the All-Star game?
Yeah, sure. I mean, very, very little had to do with the actual three Mariners that were there, Kirby, Castillo, and J-Rod. But, I mean, there was first inning, there were two amazing catches by the National League. And then the best moment was when Ohtani came up to bat and all the Mariner fans in the audience were chanting, "Come to Seattle, clap, clap, clap." And that was fun. That was great.
Yeah, and you even seen that they were even, like, showing that Ohtani smiling and like, sort of agreeing with them, with the fans. They were even showing that. Did you guys get that vibe?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah, that look on your face don't come from nothing. Okay. I want some of that is what it looked like.
Wouldn't that be awesome? I don't think he's going to come here, but that would be so cool if he did.
Yeah,
well,
just
yeah, it would be. I mean, after the Angels are they're not good right now. There's no way he stays on the team, is there?
No, probably not.
I think
if
so.
You think of it, like Soul Man predicts, there really is no way he's coming here because of the management and the structure of all everyone's contracts and his. It just basically disqualifies him, unless a miracle happens, which we hope could happen.
Absolutely.
Is he a Scott Boras guy?
I'm not sure, yeah. Okay.
No, I don't know
Scott
that.
Boras,
now,
you guys might remember that no Scott Boras player ever comes to Seattle.
That too, yes,
he
exactly,
hates,
yeah.
He hates
yeah.
our management.
You can start off right there, yeah, exactly, before you even talk about it anymore, yeah. Okay. Now on to the minor leagues, guys. Excuse me, yeah, yeah.
I was just going to say Scott Boras is not his agent, so there is a chance, maybe a small chance, but
okay.
Boras is not
yeah, yeah.
his agent.
Okay. Good to know.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, now minor leagues. Now, Abe, you have attended some Rainiers games, right? And last night they lost 2-4 to Sacramento. Give us some Rainiers.
I went to the game last Sunday, and then 2 weeks before that, I went as well. I got to say, first of all, let me just start from an atmosphere standpoint. So not on the field, but in the stands. I have to tell everybody, they got some of the best barbecue you'll ever have in the Pacific Northwest. There's a neat little stand behind, home plate. Great, great food. Another amazing thing about the Rainier Stadium is that if you sit on the third baseline on a clear day, you got Mount Rainier. So you got a game in front of you. You got Mount Rainier in the background. I'm trying to think of where else do you see something like that? That's it's amazing. And then you get a game with on a fireworks night, which we had a couple weeks ago. I do love our aftershocks and our fireworks, but these guys do it right over in Tacoma. Now on the field, you guys were mentioning Brian O'Keefe earlier. Several weeks back, I got to see him. The guy's a solid player. And I talk about the team doesn't like, the Mariners don't like over 30, but he's a guy who I think is pretty much either 29 or 30, and he's the kind of guy that they need. Keep an eye out for a couple players. The first is third baseman Jake Sheiner. So, you can correct me on that name. but he's really good. And then former Aqua Sox, Zach Deloche, as of Sunday, he was batting over 300. And that guy is going to be a Mariner. I'm telling you right now. he's the next guy that gets called up. Right fielder, anything happens to one of our outfielders, he's coming up.
Right on, yes. And Tacoma's now 63-55, going against Sacramento today, who's 50-67. We've got Allen on the mound today. He's 2-0 with a 5.56, going against to be determined for Sacramento. But it's nice to see our whole minor league has a winning record along with the Mariners, so that's really nice.
It is nice. And for those of you with eagle eyes, you'll notice in Tacoma, last two times I went, former Mariner Diego Castillo is working his way back up to maybe another call-off.
I'm going to go against you on that one. I think he's lost his stuff. No, not me personally. I think he's got the whoops. He just forgot how to pitch, and there's something seriously wrong with him.
Okay, last couple times I've seen him, he's doing really well.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I love the guy when you got him.
Okay.
I just don't have faith that he's going to be back.
Okay.
Yeah, he does have a high ERA down there, but like you said, if the last two outings were good, hopefully he can rebound, like you said. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
All right,
nice
yeah.
Comeback. I'm really for got... comeback story. Now, Brian, on the other hand, he's like, dude.
And, of course, Tommy Malone's down there still, and a bunch of other good players that, it's nice to see that the Rainiers are doing good this year, and that is a beautiful park and a great atmosphere. I grew up in Tacoma, and a couple of years I was able to go to every game for the Tacoma Twins back as a little kid.
Oh, wow.
Man, by the end of it on a weeknight or whatever, it's like raining at 11 o'clock at night. All the players are gone. Everyone's gone. The only one left is the guy to lock the gate. My mom and dad hasn't showed up yet. We're waiting for my dad to come. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
and then now, how about? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, that area. For anybody who's going for the first time, it's in Tacoma, but it's out there. I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly, but it's like not near the parts of Tacoma that I think of as Tacoma. You know, like downtown or Ruston or anything like that. It's kind of over here in its own little place, but not much around it. So I could see as a little kid where, oh, my God, somebody needs to pick me up. There's nothing out here.
Okay. Now let's on to the Arkansas Travelers. They lost last night to Amarillo 6-5, but Arkansas is 62-49. Amarillo 61-57. And today, Arkansas puts on the mound Val Verde's making his debut against Amarillo's Hill at 6-6 with a 4.97. So I'd like to see what the Travelers got in store for the playoffs this year.
They got a lot of good players on that team. I'm not sure who Val Verde is because he's making his debut, but they have Spencer Packard, outfielder who played with Aqua Sox last year, who can pretty much mash that ball, and they've had all the pitchers called up from their team, you know, Hancock, Campbell, et cetera, but they got a good group of players there. I don't remember who's managing that team, but I'm excited for the playoffs as well. It's a great organization.
Also, for longtime Seattle Sports Union listeners or readers, Arkansas also has one of our first interviews ever, Jordan Callum, third baseman.
Nice. Okay, cool.
I don't even know if you remember that. Do you remember that, Zolak?
I do, yep.
Okay, all right. I think he's just kind of like a farmhand at this point. But yeah, he was our very first Aqua Sox interview.
Oh,
and then
cool.
Speaking of the Aqua Sox, that's probably one of your guys' specialties, isn't it?
It is. I would say so. It's fair to say that is our number one specialty, right?
That's our number one specialty. Yes, that's our baby. They take good care of us. We take good care of them. But yes, it's so much fun going there every year, meeting these kids. hearing their stories. Mariners have done a great job. The Padres have done a great job drafting the last few years. And we've seen a lot of talent go through there. And there's good, after this year's draft, there's going to be more good talent going in there next year.
The
yes,
most exciting
definitely.
Thing and they... is the promotion from I was going to say the promotion from low A to high A has brought a higher level of higher caliber of talent, and a higher level of competition. So you're actually seeing a product that looks very, very, very close to MLB level.
Well,
yeah,
said.
Definitely.
Yep.
And then last night, man, they're always been exciting. And then like the history of the Aqua Sox has a nice heritage to it. And they clobbered the Hillsboro Hops last night, 11-2, and Everett's now 59-53. Hillsboro's having a rough year at 44-68. Hillsboro's putting on the mound Ray today, who's 6-6 with a 3.97, and Everett's going with Schaefer, who's 5-4 and a 4.32.
Schaefer's an interesting kid. I got to see him pitch much because he started out at Modesto, but he's come up. He's a left-hander. He's solid. He throws strikes. His attitude on the mound is awesome. The players love him. I think he was an 18th-round pick last year out of, I want to say, North Carolina State. Don't quote me on that, but this kid can throw, and he's moved some eyes, according to people like Joe Doyle and Jason Churchill, Prospect Insider. The Mariners are looking at this kid, so. But tonight should be a good matchup.
And my goodness, their team is extra exciting with their top prospects, Cole Young and Harry Ford. My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Ford had a little bit of a rough night. He got drilled. But this guy, when you look at him standing next to the other players, he looks like a major leader.
Oh, yes, definitely,
yeah.
Yes. And I love everything about him.
He's a solid kid, Harry Ford, for sure. I think he'll start out in Everett next year, but by summertime he's going to be called up to Arkansas. He's still young. He's 20 or he's going to be 20 soon if he isn't already. And the future's bright for him, for sure. And then Cole Young, he didn't play last night. Abe and I were at that game. But the guy's left-handed, has a great glove at shortstop or second base. He came up right away, you know, I think it was after the All-Star break, and he just has nonstop been hitting the ball. The guy has one of the better, sweeter swings, you know, in the minor league organization. And then one other guy I want to bring up, too, is Gabby Gonzalez.
Going to say about Cole Young. One thing to keep in mind for Mariners fans, longtime Mariners fans, this is a new thing. He's the first round Mariners pick in 22, and he did not go to college. And that's a new thing, right, Select? Depoto's finally dipping his toes into the higher ceiling high school prospects. And that's different for what we've been drafting lately.
That is a new thing for sure. And I like the style that he's doing that. I mean, you just got to be careful with how they promote him, but so far they're doing a heck of a job promoting these young kids through up the system from high school to, you know, into the major league level. They're not rushing him too quickly.
Yes, definitely. And speaking of Cole Young, he's batting in the high 280s with 5 homers and 16 RBIs. That's pretty solid. And then, of course, Harry Ford was 2-for-4 with a run and an RBI and a walk last night. He had 2 doubles. He has 19 doubles now, so that was nice to see.
So, like, you were going to
bring
up
got a good eye.
Gonzalez.
Gabby Gonzalez. He's the other guy who got promoted with Cole Young after the All-Star break. The kid, where is he from, the Dominican Republic or Venezuela? I don't remember.
Venezuela.
But he's only he's only 19 years old. His average has dropped severely since he's come up here, but he's only 19. The kid he's ripped. He's got, you know, he can't even wear a jersey. He's so ripped. And he has a heck of, he can play a solid defense, and he's got an eye for the baseball. He's just learning to adjust, you know, to the new level. But I think he's like number 4, number 5, top, you know, of their of their minor league top players. Watch out for him.
Yes, definitely. And other then back staying on Harry Ford, he also had a double play. Him and Parker performed a double play last night. That was impressive.
That's right. It was a strike him out, throw him out thing, I believe. But Harry obviously threw him out, you know, from behind the plate, and
was
impressive.
Was that the Hawks player that was out by like a mile and ended up hurting himself?
It was a heck of a throw. Yes, you are correct.
I remember that.
And other highlights of last night was the pitching performance. The starter Davila's now won that game. He's now 3-5 with a 4.25 ERA. He had six solid innings, only gave up six hits, two runs, and had six strikeouts. So that was nice.
Yeah, he's come a long way. I don't know where they got this guy. I think he's a free agent somewhere. I don't remember. But when he first came to Everett, it's like, who is this kid? But He can throw a mean fastball, and he's been doing well going in deeper and deeper into all the games that he's throwing, at least when he's pitching in Everett.
And another nice thing the Mariners do is that they give guest coaches to Everett also, right? They once in a while have Dave Valley and Dan Wilson down there. Yeah, and then Edgar even sometimes, right?
Yes, they used to have Edgar all the time back when he was more involved in the organization. But also Alvin Davis comes every summer for a visit as well. He's a roving instructor as well, Mr. Mariner.
Awesome. Okay. Anything else we should know about the Aqua Sox?
I guess I would just say check out whenever Reed Van Scooter's on the mound. Or Scott. Yes. Is it Scotter? Reed Van Scotter's Reed Van Scooter.
No, it's Scooter.
It's Scooter. Okay, yeah, he's been doing really well. We've seen the ERA and wins and strikeouts. I mean, he's from Coastal Carolina, and I believe, we do. We have an interview with him. Solak did an interview, and we'll be posting that on YouTube.
Nice. Okay. Now on to Modesto. Modesto lost last night to Fresno 5-6. Modesto's 60-52, and Fresno's 67-45. Today, Modesto puts on the mound Peavy House. He's 7-4 with a 5.11 against Fresno's Pacheco, who's 5-2 and a 4.37. Any updates on Modesto for you guys?
For me, obviously, I was watching Cole Young and Gabby Gonzalez when they were down there earlier this year. That's I always checked in on them to see how they were doing. It's hard to watch from afar, but I'd like to watch the certain prospects in general. They seem to have a good team down there, good structure. So, I think there's Michael Morales. He's a key player on their team. He's one to watch. Who's rise, going up the charts for the Mariners.
What about you, Abe?
Oh, I'm going to be honest. It's Rainiers and Aqua Sox for me. Matt and Brian, they know the whole system like the back of their hand. I focus on the ones I can actually get.
Okay, and then, hey, I want to plug an awesome app that I got. It's called MILB First Pitch. It allows you to listen to any minor league game in the United States or in the minor league system. So it's really cool. I was able to listen to Modesto or anybody. So, yeah, I recommend First Pitch. And then also you can just look on there, and it shows the box scores and the schedules and the stats and everything for the team. So that's pretty cool.
Also, when you're doing ticket lists, when you're doing ticket lists, you can save your Aqua Sox tickets to that app as well.
Nice. Okay,
definitely,
cool.
Yeah, I was going to say my wife and I got that app, too. It's a very good app. Good call, Coach.
Okay, and then sticking with baseball, Soul Man, you're one of the guys that cover the Bellingham Bells, right?
Yes. They had another great year. They're just a wonderfully run organization by their general manager, Stephanie Morrell. Anybody looking for a GM out there in minor league baseball, come watch her in Bellingham and hire her, man. She's awesome.
Right.
She deserves a chance. Yeah, but they made the playoffs again. They won the North Division. They ended up losing in the playoffs, but I'm going to break about one young man. His name is Will Franklin. His dad is a friend of mine, but Will Franklin's a freshman. He played with Edmonds Community College this year. He's trying to, you know, find a bigger college to, you know, give him a scholarship. But he made honorable mention for pitching this year with Bellingham Bells. But watch out for this young man. Maybe he could be the next Seattle Mariner for all we know.
Nice. What about you, Abe? Have you been to the Bellingham Bells?
I have in the past, and I did not get to go this year. They have that short season, so you blink and you miss it, that kind of thing. But I do want to throw this out there. We do have an interview with former Mariner third baseman Jeff Cirillo, who, correct me if I'm wrong, Sola, he used to own the Wenatchee Apple Sox.
Wenatchee and the Walla Walla. I think he still has a part of the team
and the
minor Sweet portion, but yeah. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so we had a great time interviewing him a couple months back, and he shared some revelations about owning a short season wood bat league team, and it's great to see that people are putting back into the community like he does.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, I was a big fan of his too. Yes, it was nice when he played for the Mariners. And then let's see here. Abe, you're one of the guys who covers the Sounders, right?
I do. myself and Richard Michelson, the Ram, we do the occasional show. It's been a little bit hard this year, Coach, because I believe the Apple TV exclusive content for the MLS has kind of shaken the casual audience, here in Seattle and across the country. And so, you know, as we do shows on it, we're not getting the kind of numbers that we used to. And I think that's because casual fans are slowly forgetting about the Sounders. That's a shame.
Yeah, just another platform people have to pay for. You can see the it's sort of like a riff-raff situation where it just disturbs the Mariners fans that any game that's on a different platform that we can't see on Root Sports, we're not happy about that.
Well, isn't the last game of the season for the Mariners on Peacock or something weird like that?
Yeah. Goodness, it's like, no, I'm not paying
for
that.
Who has that? Nobody has that. I don't know anybody that has that.
I know. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
then let's see.
How much are we going to pay? How much are we going to pay anyway? I mean, like, the Pac-12 was going to go to Apple.
Oh, geez. Yeah, goodness.
Nobody's going to pay for that except for me. Me and Solak might pay for that. That's about it, you know. They're not going to pay money up.
And then they just sell out for the money. They don't care about the fans, you know?
Well, I think it's a short-term look at things. They're not thinking big picture and long-term, definitely for sure.
Okay, and then the last one we haven't followed was mentioned was the Seattle Storm. It's our first year without Stu Bird, right?
It's our first, not just Sue Bird, but also Stewie. And it's not going well, guys. I watched a couple games on TV. By the way, it's been amazing. WNBA did an amazing job getting on TV. They're now on ION, a channel that most people don't know where it is, but it exists. It's on TV. And it's great that they finally got a televised deal. But, no, this has not been a fine year. Jewel Lloyd has got the only carryover from the glory days. And the glory days weren't too long ago. So I commend them for going forward. We all knew this day was going to come, but they're basement dwellers right now. They're not making the playoffs. I believe they don't even have. I don't think they have like more than five or six. Nope, 9 wins. Here it is. They have 9 wins. It's been rare when they get the win. It's too bad that Jewel Lloyd is stuck here. I would wish that she got traded and do a proper rebuild.
Yeah, and then you see Stewie's out there being her typical self, just kicking butt everywhere she goes. You can see she's such a winner.
Yep, she's with Connecticut. Is she with the Connecticut Sun? No, she's with the New York Liberty.
New York, I thought.
And
yeah,
New York Liberty, and she, yep, she's a star, and she's getting endorsements, and they're either at the top of the WNBA or second. I know that they've already playoff qualified. They're going to get the first seed, undoubtedly. I got no compunction against that. And it was strange that the Storm had Stewie, and then before that had Lauren Jackson, and then had Sue Bird, and then Jewel Lloyd, the last one of them left. You don't get in sports. You don't get that kind of like that carryover. The only thing I can think of is like the Packers, where they had Favre and then they had Rodgers for like 25 years, 30 years.
Yeah, and then it was amazing how that played out too. Wasn't it like a two or 3 year deal that you're like, when's Rodgers ever going to get in there? And it's like, but it played out just fine. All right. Anything else that we should plug on sports?
No, just get some Sonics around here, and I think the city will be fun.
Oh,
yeah,
yes,
I agree with
Sonics.
That. I'll say go Cougs for my Wazoo. I miss the Sonics,
okay,
too.
Yeah, and then, oh, my goodness, with the Pac-12, what'd they do to that thing?
It's destroyed down to four colleges.
Yeah, they did an efficient job of ineptitude. Like, it was the perfect form of ineptitude, greed, avarice, arrogance,
yes,
pettiness, yep, spite. You name it, they did it.
Selfishness.
And they ruined a good thing. Selfishness, yep.
For sure.
Everyone
for
themselves,
yeah,
is what happened.
Hey, but... hey, let's look at the Cougs, though, man. Now they can win that thing. I'm kidding you.
She's saying it. Okay, no worries.
No,
I'm
a Coug fan, and I love what they've done in the last few years, and it seems like they continue to do. So I am a fan. That's not a knock at them there.
No, I know, and I just hope what has happened doesn't destroy some of their programs on their university because of lack of funds. And I hope,
said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good players still.
Bad.
I mean,
they forgot about that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness.
There's a huge problem in respect that Wazoo has a lot of debt, and taking any less money right now, like you said, Brian, it could harm, all the programs within their athletic sphere.
Exactly. And then what's the deal here? The Big Ten has 20 or more schools? What the hell?
Yep.
That's
four West Coast teams and everybody else.
What's that?
I was going to say, that's what happens when you let Midwesterners do the counting.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Okay, and then, hey, two of our favorite things is music and wrestling. We haven't really touched on those, and I know from insider information that the Soul Man is going to a concert tonight.
I am. My wife and I are going to see Metallica. They're showing them in the movie theaters of the live concert from back in Texas,
okay,
tonight and tomorrow. No repeat concerts, so they're not going to play the same stuff tomorrow night. So they're our favorite band.
Okay.
I can't wait to go see them.
Hey, that's second best thing to go into the show.
Exactly.
Okay, yes, you're right.
Remember,
that's the one me and my girl got to go to.
You guys remember when Talking Heads did a concert on a – like it was a movie – but it was a concert.
Yeah, yeah.
That stopped making sense. Is it kind of Brian?
I'm not sure. I don't remember what you're talking about.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's possible. But
I remember that happened, Abe, and I just heard some talking heads news that all the members have agreed to get back together for their 40th anniversary or something like that. So that sounds really cool.
Awesome.
For talking heads.
Yeah, yeah. And then back to the concerts at the movie theater. Me and my girl just went to see Roger Waters at the Ruston Way Theater here in Tacoma. It's pretty nice. They got recliners in there, and he played a live show from Czechoslovakia or something. It's pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, except for the theater.
One of my favorite places in Tacoma.
Okay, and you guys, the theater, my goodness, what in the hell is up with this theater? They got this Roger Waters show, concert movie they're playing, and they got the volume lower than I've ever heard for any movie. And I keep telling them, you guys got to turn it up. This is a concert.
Hopefully, I remember used to go watch.
Yeah, I used to go watch Pink Floyd The Wall. They'd have that thing blasting.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. And then let me see. What about wrestling, you guys?
Well,
We want to save
most of our wrestling for our show later, so everybody has to go over and listen to our podcast with you.
Exactly. There you go.
But
that's how we were going to do it.
I will say this, though. The Collision is coming to Seattle in September, and I'm hoping, Coach, we get to see you there.
Okay, that does sound fun. Okay, yes. All right.
Let's do a handshake.
Is it on a weeknight at 4 o'clock like usual?
Saturday.
Some crazy thing? Saturday. Okay.
Please
not to be there. Okay, yes. All right. That sounds like fun.
That would be fun.
Well, so how do you guys want to swing it? You guys want me just to PayPal you my money for the tickets or what?
Oh, we thought we'd be watching wrestle,
I wish I could bring the real school army down there. We're basically on hiatus. Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan's still going strong, but we had a huge loss in the real school army this last year. One of my best friends of all time, the UFC Hall of Famer Stephen Bonner, died of a heart attack on Christmas Eve. My goodness, it was one of the worst things ever. It's been like, and he's had a rough last 5 years. He's almost died like 3 different times. But the Lord finally took him home. The world was a better place with him, and that's a huge loss in my life, you know, because you guys know it's like sometimes you feel like you don't have no one to talk to and stuff, and it's like I always had Stephen to talk to, and he's such a bright person and so smart and intellect. I miss him so much, but, you know, the world goes on, and anyway, God bless his soul.
Yeah, amen. Sorry about your loss.
You're doing good, man. Sorry about your loss.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, how do the fans get a hold of you guys?
I'll leave that for Abe.
check us out on Twitter at Seattle Sports U. Also, check us out. Check us out on Facebook, just Seattle Sports Union. Brian, do we have an Instagram?
I've never created one, so no, we don't.
Okay, maybe, someday,
maybe we should.
Someday we'll do that. But the two best ways are Twitter and Facebook. Additionally, you know, check out all our great content at SeattleSportsUnion.com, as well on YouTube. Just look up Seattle Sports Union. Especially check out that Emerson Hancock interview. Those are the best ways to consume the content and get a hold of it.
Nice. Soul Man?
Just to piggyback on that also, you can follow me on Twitter, if that's what we call it anymore, stupid X. But I'm at Soul Man 156. I would love it. I would love more followers on there. And you can also find me on Facebook. Send me a friend request.
Okay, nice. Yes, I'm gonna have to double check. Sometimes it's like, you know, I try to follow everybody, but you got to make sure sometimes. Soulman 156. Okay, yes, nice. All right, guys, man,
yes,
I thank you guys so much for your time and your knowledge and just everything, man. I appreciate you guys so much.
You as well, Coach Mike. This is great.
And I wish you guys all the luck in the world, man. And, yes, you know, we're not really keeping score, but maybe a little bit. So next year we're going to have to see how we did. Right, guys?
Exactly.
Yeah, I need to do better because I did not score well from last year's prediction.
Oh, you did good. I think all of us did pretty good except for the Seahawks. So I'll give us
except
that.
The, yep.
All right, you guys, check us out later today at SeattleSportsUnion.com. You guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And also you can check me out at Turnbuckle Turmoil every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific and every Saturday at noon Pacific here on the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast. Next week I have manager out of Alaska, Y.T. Jones. We'll be keeping up with the Joneses next week, the 26th. And then on the 2nd of September, I've got Indian legend from Arizona, Sumit Tiwopla. So I'm excited to talk to them. And, of course, I've got Hank Miller coming back, Ken Hamlin, and a few other people that I'm trying to get booked and get the ink dried. But we'll let you know. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. And, hey, just want to say thanks again to you guys and wish you guys all the luck in the world.
Thank you as well, Coach Mike. Thank you.
All right, see you guys later. And here we go with the Never Were with Coach Mike Jones Show or Coach Mike Jones Walk-On Song, it's called. All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, a diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones.